We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe.
All right, oh baby, good morning everybody out there. You know that I'm going to get right into this. I don't want to waste a second. It's a Friday.
I can't give you on this date?
We got to later on. Save that for 9 o'clock hour. I'm going to stay focused here for at least an hour on the show today. Good morning everybody out there. Look, I don't want to waste a second. The Sixers are in town. It's a big time game.
Yeah, it is.
And I love watching Joel Embiid play. So I actually hope he does play for the entertainment purposes. He's a monster. He's a load. The dude stretches like 2 hours before the game. They're stretching the ball out to get him right. And he goes out there and he can cook it from all three levels. In a block, in a post, mid-range, threes. He's a rebounder. He blocks shots. He does it all. Embiid's a fascinating player. Then you get James Harden in the building. Hmm. And everybody hates James Harden. You think we hate Luka? Well, James Harden's in the building and he one-ups you.
He might go down in terms of scoring as like a top 3-4 shooting guard ever. Scoring. Even scoring. Though he's more of a, I don't even know what he is. Honestly, I don't even know what the hell he is.
Honestly, he wouldn't even be in my top seven.
No, I'm with you on that, but you do get where I'm
right.
going.
But here's what's got me turned up right now.
What's that?
And I'm turned up.
Yeah, you are.
And I'm not angry.
No, what is
I'm happy. I like to have fun watching sports.
I know you do.
We're geeks about this
stuff. Yeah, you live for it.
But the Giants and the optimism. And I keep hearing, Bonte, you need to be optimistic about the Giants. Baseball's around the corner. I love baseball. Yeah. It's around the corner. World Baseball Classic was great. Spring training stinks. Yeah.
Well,
all right?
Spring training sucks. Spring's eternal is the theory.
Yeah, well, spring training sucks.
I agree with that.
So I'm not going to waste a second on that. But I'm up to date on what's going on. And the fact that Casey Smith's not going to start with this big league club, the coverage of the Giants in this market, it's totally different than the Warriors and the Niners. Think about how we discussed the 49ers. We lose our minds about them. And all they've done three of the last 4 years is advance to the NFC Championship game and won Super Bowl.
I know.
The Golden State Warriors have won four championships in the last 8 years. Got one of the 10 greatest players in basketball history in Stephen Curry.
I would say, put Wilt to the side, he's the greatest Warrior of all time.
Greatest Warrior of all time. Bob Myers, Steve Kerr, Joe Lacob. And think about the vitriol they receive on a daily basis. Not only for fans, media members, everything.
It's kind of crazy.
And all they do is win.
Yes.
And they're in the business Both of teams. Winning. Both teams. In the business of trying to hang banners.
And we criticize every little transaction.
And yet with the Giants.
I mean, there are people losing their minds. Emmanuel Mosley got a $6 million one-year deal with the Detroit Lions and the Niners.
There you go.
And the Niners have proven that they can allow guys to walk and find. Like, I think about how we cover the Niners.
Yep.
It's crazy. Now, that's a product of football, but also how well the Niners have played over the last 5 years.
No doubt. And so now.
And they've earned that.
And they have earned it. But then when it comes to the Giants. It's almost as if we're supposed to shake these orange and black pom-poms, say, you know what? It's just so good to be at the yard. You know, Logan Webb, great story. And Logan Webb, I don't even want to bother him. But, you know, hey, the way they play,
Logan Webb
the
was nostalgic. The 75th out of 100 starting pitchers, The Athletic ranked him 75th.
There you go. And that's your
ace. And I like Logan Webb.
And
I love him.
And that's your ace pitcher. That's.
And I really like him.
There's literally, when it comes to the Giants, what is one thing? Not you.
Yes.
But I would love to hear it from the audience. Because the Warriors, I can name 8,000 things on why I'm excited to go watch the Warriors play. Even if Steph is out and Draymond's out and Klay's out, We get excited because, oh, it's Jordan Poole time.
It's Kuminga.
It's Jonathan Kuminga time. Oh, we're going to see a little Moses Moody. Yeah.
I love Dante DiVincenzo.
Right, exactly. The Niners. So many storylines.
Yeah, I mean.
Brandon Ayuk sent out a tweet this week, and everybody's going crazy.
If Josh Johnson was on one side of the street, and anyone other than Jock and Crawford was on the other from the Giants, wouldn't you think people would recognize Josh Johnson before any other Giants player?
Absolutely. And so, you know, you get Mr. Bridge here. Well, of course you're going to say the Warriors are more exciting. They are more exciting. The Warriors, NBC Sports Bay Area could fire me tomorrow. The Warriors are still exciting. I'd still rather watch a Warrior game than what the Giants are presenting on a product. Why is it fan base? And we don't. Fans, we want more.
Yeah.
And the Giants, remember I came down the road, I was like, they don't deserve credit for trying to get Aaron Judge. They should be doing that.
Yeah.
They need to close a deal.
Yeah.
And you know what they did? They failed. They didn't close a deal. And then the whole Carlos Correa debacle and the way that was handled.
And you allowed Bogarts to go. You didn't want to go after him. You didn't go after Trey Turner.
Didn't do any of that.
You could have gone in a lot of directions.
You didn't do any of that. Instead, we got $173 million payroll, and Mitch Haniger, one of your high-priced free agents, is not even going to be in the lineup on opening day because he has an oblique injury.
I know.
Michael Conforto. And we're getting so Michael Conforto. So why should I be optimistic? Why is it just okay to be, hey, we're just optimistic about baseball being back? We should demand more from our team. And the Giants, I demand more. But yet we cover them in this market with kid gloves. We really do.
Well, and why is that? No, but in what way do you mean that? I'm just curious. Because
we're critical about them.
I probably get labeled as a Giants homer / screamer. Like, it's funny how I get labeled as both. I lose my mind on the Giants, but I'm also a homer. And it's like, I feel like I'm pretty critical on the Giants.
No, I'm a diehard Giants fan, which is why I'm so damn critical of them.
So, but then why do you get the sense that we're not critical?
Just think about it. Think about John Lynch. Think about John Lynch.
Yeah.
If that was John Lynch yesterday saying, hey, we're going to go with Nate Sudfeld over Trey Lance, and Trey Lance needs to get more work, we would go crazy.
Yeah.
We'd go crazy.
Yeah.
Think about how much we bang on the table for John Lynch to make moves. Or we bang on the table for Shanahan making a 4th-and-3 call.
Is there an acceptance that the team isn't good and there's maybe apathy?
Maybe there is, but do they deserve apathy? When Farhan said the things he said this past offseason about the city, and, you know, it's really difficult to bring free agents here because of the politics and all that. That's basically what he said.
It turned me off. Even though I believe there's some truth to what he said.
Right?
You don't say it out loud.
You don't say it out loud. Kapler, a lot of people thought, man, maybe he lost the clubhouse.
And when
he got ejected, he got ejected from a game last year. I'm not going to name names, but it'd be right, I'd say, yo, that was phony. And the players felt like it was phony.
I think there's a lot of people that view Kapler as phony for a variety of things. A, he doesn't make his own decisions in the dugout. Very few managers do. But he feels like he's someone who, hey, here's the script. Go to the script.
You're only there
to punch.
So think about it. Last night on Twitter.
Punch tickets in terms of what they want.
Right. Well, think about Twitter. So Twitter, for example. I was like, damn, Farhan was on the Giants broadcast? I didn't see any tweets about that.
I know.
Not one.
I know.
I didn't see anything about Farhan. Nobody brought it up. Even Ludman didn't even bring it up. He's the biggest Giants fan I know.
No, I feel like I was the only one watching.
And he's the president of baseball operations of the Giants in the number 4 market in the country.
One of the top 5 valuations by Forbes and one of the top 5 profit makers in baseball by Forbes.
John Lynch speaks.
We all,
we're doing entire shows around what he says.
We had John Lynch on. I think we did 15,000 views in the first 12 hours.
There you go.
And that's on YouTube. That's not even talking about that's just on YouTube for a 20-minute interview.
A prospect that you're excited about, Casey Schmidt, is going to start in AAA. In AAA. Think about how disappointing that is. One thing that you were optimistic about, but yet we sit here and say, well, the Giants know what they're doing. You got to trust the process. You got to trust the process. Mm-hmm. They deserve the benefit of the doubt.
It's been a long time.
Patience has been preached about. Hey, you got to be patient with this. They know what they're doing. Just waiting for the prospects to come up. Wait until 2025.
No.
Why is that acceptable with this club?
I'm not waiting that long.
But why is that acceptable? It seems like overall it's acceptable with this team in this market.
Was it that way for the Niners in 2017? When they started off 0-9, didn't it feel like Shanahan was already on the hot seat?
Absolutely.
Even though it felt like the fan engagement on the Niners was as low as it had ever been, wouldn't you agree?
Mm-hmm.
And yet it still felt like, hey, you got to win some of these games. Mm-hmm. Remember how people were talking about them?
Yep.
Now, is that football or is that how? Because I do feel like as we talk about the Warriors and the Niners,
right?
I do feel like there's an element, fair or not, where the fan in the Bay Area is like, hey, if you ain't competing for championships, I'm kind of out on you.
Right.
Unless you're showing me a bunch of young players that we can watch grow into champions.
Yep.
Right?
And we don't even have that hope.
Well, that's,
the one glimmer of hope was Casey Schmidt.
Yeah.
You talked him up. I said, look, I'm excited to see what he does. Cool. And he's got to start in AAA. And yet, I'm supposed to say, hey, Bonte, shut up. Baseball's coming back. Giants, you got to be optimistic, man. Why are you different? And it's like, no, I don't accept. I want my team to be great. I want them to be perennial powers. At least show me that you're turning in the right direction. Well, I don't even know what direction they're going in.
Let me play devil's advocate. And I'm not sure if I even subscribe to this, but let me just play that. I view, and this is me, I personally view Casey Schmidt not necessarily as like he's going to save the franchise, because no one player does that. It's a collection of young talent that's going to get you over to the next level, right?
Right.
Whatever that next level is for this team. It's the metaphor of what he represents. Meaning, if Casey Schmidt comes up and when we see him, he's successful, that to me will signify, all right, I think they got this going in the right direction.
They got one.
Let's see the rest of the wave. So, and again, I don't know if I believe this, but maybe from their perspective is, hey, we have to make sure Casey Schmidt succeeds, because if he does what Joey Bart did, which is come in and not do well, isn't that more of a poor reflection on us?
What if he goes to AAA and he struggles out there?
Which is what happened with Ramos. He went down to AAA and struggles. Had a horrible year.
Why? Because he's depressed. He's thinking, man, I did everything I could to make the roster. I batted 440 in spring training. I'm putting up numbers.
That's what I asked these young guys to do.
And then you're like, you know what? It wasn't good enough. You're going to start off in AAA.
And really, if you look at the roster, like, you couldn't, like
David,
yes.
Like, honestly, Davey VR is blocking Casey Schmidt.
Well, VR did rise through the system, and you want to be able to reward those guys. I hear where you're coming from. VR had a decent run at the end of last year. So I can see from an organizational standpoint being optimistic on VR. I can see that. To me, I would just say, I think that Casey Schmidt, even if you believe in VR, Casey Schmidt, there are enough at-bats available for him to play third and shortstop. There's just enough. That's the way I view it.
Wilmer Flores is really blocking Casey Schmidt.
Yeah, that multi-year deal, especially with the shift ban, it doesn't look good.
I mean, come on. What are we doing? So,
like, yes, right that, now. So everyone's think about like, that. Hey, look out for Yaz. Yaz, I think, has one hit and 22 at bats.
Oh, no, you tell me, Shaska. You read everything about the Giants.
Yeah, I read everything. I know.
And look, how do you think the Giants are covered in this market?
Oh, I absolutely believe we treat them different than the other two teams.
Why?
Well, I think that there was such a long drought for so long that they fulfilled our wildest dreams and they won that first championship, which felt unbelievable. And then they won again, and then they won again. And all of that felt so good. And they were the kings of Camelot. Like, they won, and it coincided with a time where the Warriors were down.
Yep.
It was in between, we believe, in their first championship.
Yep.
And the Niners fell off the map.
Mm-hmm.
They were great from 2010 or 2011 to 2014, but then they kind of they fell off the map, and the Giants held firm, right? And then like, you had legends. Like, think about this, B. If I were to rank the top 10 legends of San Francisco Giants baseball history, Willie Mays, Barry Bonds, McCovey, Marichal.
Right.
The next six are coming out of this last generation. Posey, the Tim Lincecum, Bochy, Bumgarner, right?
But
Pence.
But that was so long ago. Like, I'm looking at the Warriors in the modern day. Think about how they just won last June. GP2 signed with the Portland Trailblazers a couple weeks later, and it was like that championship was won 100 years ago.
I know.
I mean, we pivot so quick as sports
fans. Did we do that
with
the Giants in 2016, 2017, when they were fresh off of those championships?
We didn't in 2014. We didn't in 2013 after 2012. We gave them pass years.
Yes.
We gave the Giants pass years. It feels like the Warriors don't get a pass for anything.
No.
It really does.
Well, I said,
and even the 49ers.
It's funny that
even
you say
the Niners.
It's funny you say this. Everybody makes this argument about wasting Curry's prime.
Right.
I always said, and this was my argument, not that you're wasting Posey's prime, but my thing was always the best hitter you could get in the lineup with Buster Posey was Hunter Pence. And I love Hunter Pence. I love Hunter Pence. But like, you couldn't get a legit four hitter for Posey. You like I know, again, he had some great years with the Giants. But, like, look at what Judge is working with in that Yankee lineup.
Yeah.
Look at what the Astros have assembled down there. Look at what the Dodgers and the Padres are working with. Now, you can say, Joe, they still won championships. Yeah, but maybe they could have won more.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Did they maximize Buster Posey?
No, I don't believe they did.
Don't you think, and I know this sounds absurd to say, don't you think they could have squeezed out more playoff runs?
Absolutely.
Forget championships, because those are difficult.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm looking at these texts for the 415 yeah. Xfinity Mobile text line. I don't want to read them because that'll start something else, but there may be some truth to what you're texting, 415. Just know that. Mario San Ramon. Mario, what's happening?
Hey, what's up, man? Look, we got to preach some patience with the Giants. I mean, we had some down years for the Niners, but you got to look at the Warriors back in 2009. Who was it? Stephen Curry, right? We just drafted him.
Yeah.
They sucked for so freaking long, you know, and then we started winning. Maybe we got to suck again for the Giants to know what we really were missing, you know. So
let me ask you this, Mario. How much patience will you have with this current regime? This is year five, I believe, correct? Year five?
Well, he got hired in 2018.
Yeah,
so this will be
2018,
his fifth,
19,
he's
20,
just completed
21.
His fifth full offseason.
Fifth offseason. So how much patience should we exhibit for Farhan Zaidi and this regime, Mario?
I mean, how much patience you got for the Niners? I mean, we're on year, what, 5, 6 for the Niners?
But yeah, but
think about how close they are.
I mean, come on.
Think about how close they've gotten.
Yeah, we can't compare 107 to they have had more playoff moments in one, pick any one of the runs
right.
than the Giants have even come close to.
Mario gone? All right, that's it. So that's, I find it fascinating. So like, my thing is personally, I'm down on the Giants. I am.
Yeah.
And I, like, sometimes it comes off on air. It's like, damn, Ponte's really down on them.
No, because you care.
If I didn't care, I wouldn't be this angry about them or be this mad about them. The fact that Casey Smith's not going to start with the big league club, and I'm like, damn, that was the one thing. Shasky actually started warming me up to him.
I know.
You talk 40 minutes about Casey Smith. All right, I'm going to see the kid.
But now
he will be up at some point.
He will be.
But that's the problem.
No, I'm with you.
I don't care about service. I don't care about anything. Let the kid play. Yankee Stadium. If he's a big leaguer, and you're like, Yankee Stadium, what better way to introduce yourself to the baseball world and to the Giants community to playing at Yankee Stadium in the opening series where he gets to go touch the Babe Ruth Monument, the Mickey Mantle Monument, the Joe DiMaggio Monument, and you go play third base at Yankee Stadium against the Pinstripes. And they're going to be with the Sacramento River Cats?
I know.
I would be shocked if Casey Smith I'm down now again. Mm-hmm. Again, and then you read up the DeSclafani stats and what he's doing. And Farhan's talking about Farhan. I mean, when he walks into a room, like John Lynch, he walks into the room, he can sell us anything.
There's credibility.
Credibility because why?
Well, two things. A, he played. And I'm not sitting here saying that you have to play. But there is, when you hire John Lynch, there was a level of credibility sight unseen. Wouldn't you agree?
Yep.
Because of the stature of who he was. That doesn't mean he's going to be a good GM.
Hall of Fame player.
But then he, through what he's done with this team and building the roster, he's established and reestablished and continued to reinforce his credibility as a guy who makes moves. Bob Myers had credibility as an agent before he came in. Big question marks running the team. Through his actions, has reestablished and reconfirmed his credibility. The Farhan thing's still up in the air. Let me ask you this, B. What's the most bold thing? Because when I look at Bob and when I look at John Lynch,
they made bold moves.
Really bold moves.
Bold.
Lots. And we can go through a variety of them. Trading for Bogut, whatever.
Trading for D4.
Yeah.
CMC.
Not trading Clay Thompson for Kevin Love.
Exactly.
You know, telling David Lee to take a hike and putting Draymond in there.
Could have grown with Harrison Barnes, but just like, you know what? Kevin Durant's out there. Let's go try to get this guy.
Think about the bold acquisitions the Niners have made. What's the most bold thing the Giants have done under Farhan?
Trade for Chris Bryant.
A rental that they let walk?
Yeah,
and they didn't
For 2 months. And really, I feel like...
But that was pretty bold.
But you know what?
You didn't give up anything.
You didn't give up nothing, and you let them walk.
I feel like they're very risk-averse, meaning they're afraid to make the big mistake. And that's the one thing, if you were to define the Sabian era, right? The Sabian era was many things. They won. He was bold.
But you know what, though?
He was willing to make a mistake.
He was Sabian, I agree with that. But Farhan has made moves.
What?
I think being bold, giving Jock Peterson $20 million this year.
But it's a one-year deal.
But it's still $20 million for Jock Peterson.
It's a one-year deal.
$20 million.
Well, I'll add into this. This isn't a
Mitch
move.
Henniger. Go ahead, Lemmy. Get in.
Sorry, this is probably a move that will totally like move the needle or whatnot. But the way they moved off of Mark Melancon in that first year, getting that whole contract off, it's just... The Braves did not have to take on that whole contract and give a player back, and he pretty much stood there and said, "You guys,
so
that's what you're going to do."
The thing he did,
no, like I said, is it going to move the needle? No, but it's a move that I think you got to look at. It's like, all right, that's impressive. You're able to make a move like that, and you might even see Tristan Beck.
Melancon has been really good since he left the Giants, too.
Guys, one second. as the Padres land star after star after star, and the Dodgers trade and acquire and allow stars to come and go left and right. The most bold thing the Giants have done was trade away a closer who never worked for them, only to see that guy reemerge later on and beat you down the line.
Soto just bought a mansion in San Diego, by the way.
Yeah, he's not going nowhere.
That's kind of, man.
He's not going nowhere.
That's kind of sad.
That is sad. Mark Melancon, think about that.
Is that it?
Think about that.
I'm asking, is that it?
That is it. That is it.
That kind
of. No, you know, the boldest move he made was hiring Gabe Kapler. That's a bold move. Because a lot of people are saying, well, Farhan, you hired Gabe.
That was a bold move.
It was a bold move, considering where Kapler was at, getting fired after 1 year as the manager of the Philadelphia Phillies.
Well, boy. I can already start to see right now. I have some issues with the way the team is run, but Kapler to me is a conduit of how the front office wants them run, and I think unfairly he will be crushed all year. To me, he's executing the game plan of the
He's a scapegoat.
Yes,
we knew that. As soon as he was hired, Farhan had his built-in scapegoat. This is 415-510. Can we talk about the top 100 players on ESPN? Our first guy is Logan Webb, is 71.
Oh, I know the Athletic.
My San Francisco Giants.
Well, the Athletic did the top 100 starting pitchers, and he was in the 70s, Logan Webb.
Unbelievable.
And I thought that was low, but man, that's like really sad. That's like really, really sad. I mean, B, you could have made an argument. You could, if this was 2013, 2012, you could have made the argument Matt Cain's on that list, Bumgarner's on that list. Posey's on that list, right?
I mean,
Brian Wilson.
I keep going back to Casey Schmidt thinking, poor kid had a chance to start at Yankee Stadium. He's killing the ball in spring training. And even though spring training, I think stats could be inflated. It's just, that's sad.
Yeah, I'm with you.
That's very sad. Matt San Jose, what's happening?
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
Good. I was better until we started talking Giants, Matt.
Yeah, it's just kind of the way it goes. And that, you know what, kind of segues me into what I was going to ask. First of all, to the question of what's the Giants' biggest, boldest moves in the Farhan era, damn near Mitch Haniger. But question, do you think that, like, with all the championships that the Giants have won, the Warriors have won, Niners have been to the Super Bowl twice, a bunch of NFC championship games, even the Sharks went to a Stanley Cup, do you think we're a little spoiled? Like, we'll talk about, oh, the Giants have scored more out of Buster Posey. Do you think we're maybe a little spoiled?
Well, no, I think
we did get spoiled. I do think we got spoiled, Matt. I'll say it. I'll admit
that. When you have one of the, like, the Giants have been an organization since the 1800s.
Right.
He's the greatest catcher they've ever had. Okay? And, like, we know how much of an influence he had on the pitching, and we know how much an influence he had on the entire lineup. And B, I think it's fair to simply say, like, they did a good job, and they did. But even Yankee fans are lamenting not winning more with Derek Jeter.
No doubt.
Even Laker fans are lamenting not winning more with Kobe Bryant.
No
when
doubt.
You have those once in a generation special players, I do understand the tug and pull of saying, well, you need to win even more, which is
still
crazy.
Folks are still mad at Bob Myers for not making a deal at the deadline during the pandemic season, thinking that you're wasting Steph Curry's prime. So we do believe that.
I do not.
We're a little spoiled.
I do think that going back to the risk averse, they're so worried about looking bad and a guy struggling and this, that, and the other because they're in the weeds. Would they have ever even allowed Will Clark, the number two overall pick, to start? He got drafted at 85, started 86.
I don't know.
I don't think this regime would allow it.
Does Farhan Zaidi exude confidence from a leadership role into this fan base?
I think confident. I think he's confident in himself, but I don't think fans get confident based off him.
No, absolutely not. You hear him speak, and like, he may be a great dude. I don't know Farhan. I would love to interview Farhan. I would love to get him on the morning roast to ask him what the philosophy is. How long should we be patient? Why should I pay to watch this product?
And how is your philosophy going to change, considering part of why I hired you was to usher in this new era of data, and, you know, you're going to shift more than any team, and you're going to pull the ball more than any team, and blah, blah, blah. Well, now that there's the shift on the band shift, how are your principles going to adjust? How are your philosophies going to adjust?
415 believes he is a confident butcher boy. He's arrogant. I don't know, man.
I'm going to go out there for opening day, and I'm going to be really optimistic.
Oh, I know
because
you
that's
are.
How I am.
I know you are. I'll watch.
And you might call me a sucker.
No. I mean, I'm
like
not going to spend
common
money.
Person, right?
Look, listen, I'll probably go to some Giants games this year. It's hard for me not to go. I love live baseball. I love going to live baseball games. I love being out the yard. But everything with the Giants, from the players on the field to the entertainment in the stadium. The in-game entertainment, we haven't just started. Go to a Niner game in between commercial. I mean, in between timeouts. Go to a Warriors game. DJ D Sharp and company, they always got something going on. Go to a Giants game.
Yeah.
In the in-game entertainment. You want to talk about depressing? Oh, my Lord. All right. Tom McInnes is going to uplift the show. Let's talk some Sixers Warriors. That's what we should be talking about. Embiid's in town. Harden's in town.
Are you kidding me?
The Warriors have won two in a row. They're back home. They're 29-7.
Are you kidding me?
We got 8 games left, baby. Playoff basketball starting. Let's go. Tom McInnes, the voice of the Sixers, next on the Rose. Brought to you by AC Transit.
Are you kidding me?
This is Steve Kerr, and you're listening to The Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game.
I'm really excited about this next guest. I am. From afar, I've been listening to him for a while. My roommate, best friend, Sean Singer, from Philadelphia, was always playing this guy on the radio. You gotta listen.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
To this broadcast, you got to listen to him. He's the best in the business. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, man, Tim Roy is the best. But you know what? Tom McInnes holds his own. He's been calling Sixer games since 1995. So he called the Iverson era. He's been there through the Iguodala era. Now he's got Joel Embiid and James Harden. And the Sixers come to town at 49-23. 3 games behind the Milwaukee Bucks for the top spot in the Eastern Conference. Of course, Embiid's an MVP candidate. But, man, the Sixers, you think about since the All-Star break, Shasky, we're talking about the game of basketball. The Sixers have been involved in so many entertaining games, whether it's the Boston game at the Wells Fargo Center, whether it's them going to Milwaukee and winning the game. The Sixers are in town, and it's going to be hopping tonight. Tom McInnes on the Morning Roast, the voice of the Philadelphia 76ers. What's up, Tom? How you doing this morning?
Hey, Tom.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Anytime, man. What is the mood? All right, let's start here because I don't know if you heard, but Shasky and I, we went out to Philadelphia for the NFC Championship game, and we did have a very pleasant visit there, of course.
Niners lost a game. Everything was fun.
Everything was fun until the game. Until game day.
And then the White Walkers were everywhere.
Right, but so what has it been like in Philly since the Super Bowl loss to Kansas City?
Oh, well, that was, that plus the Phillies made it to the World Series, lost. The soccer team made it to the final game, lost to L.A.
Yep.
So that was... Those were, in a way, sort of not the Eagles because they had an outstanding regular season, but, you know, the bridesmaid title came into play right there. Mm. But, you know, as far as the Sixers are concerned, you know, the Sixers are in position to compete for a championship. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the vibe is very good. You know, like the Sixers haven't gotten out of the second round since way back since the Iverson era, as you mentioned, back in 2001. But, you know, this year we have a lot of new pieces with Harden being his first full year, and Tucker and on like that, DeAnthony Melton. And so we got off to a bit of a bumpy start. And at one point, the Sixers were 500 at 12-12. But if you take the record from then till now, I guess they might have the best record in the NBA. So they've been playing at a really high clip of late.
All right, so Joel Embiid, he's been a runner-up for the MVP award the last couple of years behind Nikola Jokic. I thought he should have won it last year. I definitely think he should win it this year. 33 points a game, 10 rebounds, 4 assists. Tom, what's his status for tonight? Do you think he'll give it a go? And what has made him, or what has been different about his game this season compared to the last two?
Well, like, first of all, as far as the injury, he left the game the other night in Chicago, and coach said after the game, Doc Rivers said he thought he would play, but Joel is kind of a game-time decision. He's been had a lingering foot issue throughout the course of the year, so I have no knowledge there. But it would be a great matchup for sure to see him. And he's played more games than any other point
right.
in his career. And I think that's part of the MVP debate, because I think in years past, resting and making sure that his body was whole was part of the reason maybe he didn't garner some votes. But I think, you know, the thing with Embiid, and again, I echo the sentiments of our coach last week, was talking about, you don't have to knock other guys down. These guys are all unbelievable yep. talents in terms mm-hmm. of anybody in the conversation mm-hmm. and really league-wide. But at this level, all these guys are terrific. I think Embiid, though, the defense and the force that he brings to that end of the court, how he affects the game in the lane, around the basket, and numbers would bear that out, are really important. You know, he hunts down guys and blocks shots and alters so many shots. So, you know, he's literally a rim protector, and you see it, you know, a dozen times a week, and that is, he's agile enough at 7 feet to go over there and, like, curtail a driver and then get back to the guy he's supposed to guard and contest his shot at the rim. That's effort, that's skill, that's an incredible talent. That's part of, I think, his package. And, you know, his ability to shoot and, you know, the way they put him now at the nail around the elbows and see the defense, his passing is better. And, you know, he can get a basket pretty much at any time. And if you double him, which everybody does, he's able to find the open guy. So he's, to me, I would hope for him that he is able to validate all of this with what ends up being, you know, the most valuable player award.
Yeah, with and all more. That being said,
I think he's looking for more too. Go ahead.
Sorry, no. With all that said, I mean, tell him he can take the night off. You know, Warriors need this win. You know what I mean? You got what I'm talking about? All right, so James Harden, you know, you bring his name up around these parts, and Warrior fans don't have much love for James Harden. Have Sixers fans embraced him? Because he's a very controversial dude.
Yeah, I don't know where the controversy. I don't understand that part.
Well, it's the style of play. It's some of the off the court stuff. It's the crying and complaining, similar to Luka with the officials. Like, I do think he can be an acquired taste for fan bases.
Now I get you. Look, during that period when you know, with the leaning and the foul, like he played that as well as any player ever. Mm. And you could argue in that 2018 segment right there, he's one of the most gifted offensive players ever in the sport. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, he had like a 50-point triple-double against us when he was with the Rockets, and they dominated them. So I understand that, but when, it's one of these things, like you always hear the coaches say, hey, well, we got the guy in our gym, we found out, .. Well, with Harden, you know, he's obviously, the part of that offensive arsenal is tapered off because of his age. And the other part is that's not what he's being required to do, because you got Embiid, but he's an incredible playmaker. And I mean, just look at his numbers. He leads the league in assists.
Yeah.
And the efficiency with he and Embiid and the middle pick and roll is incredible. Like, he's not blowing by people, but he's still got this knack and a savvy to be able to score. He's been, I think, Philadelphia fans have embraced him because he's still one of the best basketball players in the game. And, you know, his production and everything is pretty much hinged a lot into how far we go. And he's been sensational, that's for sure.
No doubt about that. Tom McInnes, a longtime Sixers radio play-by-play voice. He's been doing this since 1995. Real quick, before we get back into the Sixers, because I do want to ask you about Tobias Harris and Tyrese Maxey. Are you still rolling solo on the radio, Tom?
I do the games by myself. Yep.
So how do you bring up, because you're very even keel right now, very composed. But when you get on the air, it sounds like you have 5 cups of coffee. You sound like my partner here, Joe Shasky.
Yeah, no, it's part of a passion born out of a love for the game. When I was a little kid, I grew up around Chicago and going to the stadium. This is pre-Michael Jordan. In fact, we were just there.
Yeah.
And I was speaking with Al Donabi and saying, you know, this is where, and I grew up 100 miles from Chicago. So going to the games, it wasn't like we just drove 15 minutes or whatever. It was like a big deal. And my dad took me, and I would be there, and I would sneak over the hockey boards and go out there and rebound. And it just, like, and then I was a basketball player all through. I played college basketball and whatnot. So I just love the game. And then when I see these guys and I realize what goes involved in the skill level of NBA basketball, it's just so, it's really born out of an excitement and an appreciation for the talent that we get to watch, the competition and being around the sport. And that's what I do. Like, if I were to show up at 7 o'clock and be kind of milk-toasty and quiet, you know, like, that's not my deal. It's part of its entertainment. But it's all real. And, you know, as far as doing the games by yourself, I realize the two persons and the dialogue and the expertise, these guys that do the games, that played, they're experts just by waking up in the morning, you know. So, but part of it is I've been around it so much, and I know there's so many storylines that I think you bring a lot to the table, to the game with all the different things that are going on. And, you know, I've found a way to be able to do both. And, it's been a treat. I never take it for granted. And I love it as much today as I did all those years ago.
All right, Tom, laugh a little here. So what's going to happen with Doc Rivers tonight when he's at the game? Is he going to lose his voice?
Doc Rivers is unreal. Like, anybody that... Yeah, because it came up over the last couple of years, and we're exactly the same age, okay? So our life arc is very similar, yet his experiences are vastly different than mine. And one thing that I remember him as a player at both at Marquette, and then as an early player, as it turned out, I was working in Charleston, South Carolina, when they would have training camps there. And you know, just the fire and the fight and the competitive, all these guys, all these coaches, I love the coaches. You know, I spend more time around the coaches than I do the players, primarily just because of age and the way things work and whatnot. But, man, he's unbelievable.
Tom.
We're six games away, he is, from becoming the eighth all-time winningest coach. And if we win some of these games down the stretch, he's going to pass Larry Brown.
Wow.
I've just been amazed at his competitiveness and how he breathes that fire into our team. Look at our record over the last 3 years since he got there. And now, like I say, they want to pay it off with a trip to the finals.
So you know, obviously you have a sentimental attachment as a human and as a friend to Doc and a coworker, a colleague. How do you balance the criticism that he receives for coming up short, or at least his teams do? I know he's not the one out there playing, because I think a lot of people around the country associate Doc with underperforming in the playoffs. As someone who is close to him, what is your pushback on that?
Well, pretty much what I was just stating, like, you know, and again, this is a business where it's wins and losses, and the regular season is terrific, but if we're healthy, we have just as good a shot as anybody. That's what I'm saying. I get the Clippers lost to Denver in this game and that game, you know, like we lost to Atlanta 2 years ago in the playoffs. You could certainly, if you're going to be a critical like that, that would be an element. Like, we probably should have won that series. We lost in the seventh game. But I don't see any of it. Like, I watched the preparation. Like, you know, I don't see. And first of all, oh, by the way, I'm the house organ, okay? So I'm playing the company tune, so you're not going to hear it from me. But I don't see it anyway, you know what I mean? Like, there's been different things, the reason we haven't won, but to me, it's not the coach, that's for sure. Like, he's among the best ever to do it. I'm kind of a little shocked that he's not in the Hall of Fame already, but... what I see from him is, like I said, the competitive. I watched him when he coached Orlando.
Yeah.
And he won Coach of the Year with a 500 team that had, you know, Jacques Vaughn and Chucky Atkins and whatever. And, like, it's he's unbelievable, in my opinion.
Tom McInnes, the longtime voice of the Philadelphia 76ers, been doing this since 1995. All right, back to the team on the floor. Tyrese Maxey, Tobias Harris. I feel like those two guys are the big X factors for you. They play well. You guys may end up in the NBA Finals. How's Tobias been this year? Tyrese Maxey, we know he's a jolt of energy. But those two guys, it feels like, yes, Embiid's going to do his thing, and Harden's going to do what he does on the floor. P.J. Tucker's going to play hard-nosed defense. But if those two guys don't show up, I'm not sure you guys can get past Boston and Milwaukee.
No, they're very important players, right? Or it could be Boston. You're absolutely right. And Tobias has had his moments. He's had his ups and his downs. Maxey's been incredible. You know, like you say, Maxey, he finds a gap and drives it, and he's able to hit deep threes. His defense has been better. In fact, you mentioned Tucker. There was a game recently at home where Maxey did a great job fighting over screens and staying on his guy, and Tucker, in front of the whole team, like, called him out in the good way, like, okay, like, now we know. And, you know, like, we expect it now. Tucker's been unbelievable. You know, you look at Tucker, and he's been a winner through and through. He's been a tremendous addition. The guy we haven't mentioned is De'Anthony Melton.
Yeah.
He's the same. He's been fantastic.
That was a sneaky trade, Tom.
The other night, you know, stepped in with no Harden. All of a sudden, he's running the pick and rolls with Joel. He had almost a triple-double, so... He, you know, his role was more of a pick and shoot corner guy, and, like, for the most part, because of Harden, and the spacing and whatnot. But you're right. You know, we need all those guys. Yeah. We're not so dominant that we can just roll out. You know, we need everybody to be clipping at a high level and for us to compete for a championship. And I think everybody knows that. And when we move the ball and play like that, we're one of those teams that are in the mix.
All right, DeAnthony Melton, I'm glad you brought him up. That was a sneaky trade. I don't understand why the Memphis Grizzlies moved him, because he's a very good defender. We'll probably see him on Steph at times tonight here at Chase Center. So what's your thoughts about the Warriors from afar? I know you guys saw him earlier this season. DiVincenzo had the 5 threes in the first quarter, but you guys were able to win that basketball game. What's been your impression of the Warriors this year coming off the championship?
Well, I mean, just from afar, the splits in terms of the home and the road, that's really unusual. But here we are, you know, in San Francisco. So, look, it's still, like, to watch Curry, you know, that never gets old. And, I'm a huge fan of Steve Kerr and the Warriors. So this would be, like, for us, this is a huge, they're all big, especially mm-hmm. down the stretch. We've got a torrid schedule with the road and the teams. And this is yet another one. But if the Sixers were any way to win this game that I get the 50th victory. Oh, and by the way, for a reward, we'll see you in Phoenix tomorrow night. So, and then Denver on this trip. But no, the Warriors, if they can get right and get healthy and get Wick back, look out. Because, it's a team with a lot of, shall we say, like, you know, experience and championship pedigree. You know the drill. So, right. No, this is one of those games where you come here and, This is a real treat. It's exciting.
Real quick, how do the East Coast fans do they enjoy when the Sixers go on the road? Because it feels like here at Chase Center, when Boston comes to town, when the Knicks come to town, when the Sixers come to town, you see all those East Coast fans in here, and it's a lively event. It's a lively atmosphere. Yeah, how do you guys enjoy coming to the West Coast?
I've seen a lot of that really over the recent years. It's amazing, like in terms of gear and merch in the stands with Sixers fans. No doubt. Like some of these games, like in Charlotte the other night, it was a joke. It was like there was more Sixers fans at the game than Charlotte fans. And that's what happens with winning, right? You see that all across. And Philadelphia has obviously a huge fan base. And, you know, the home record there for the Sixers has been, they've had a sellout streak that matches pretty much in recent years any team. So, no, it's all important. It's been a tremendous year. But again, you want to get to where you need to go, and it's all going to be impinging on April, May, and hopefully June.
No doubt. Surprised they haven't made it past the second round, Sasky, since Iverson was there. They've had some really, really good teams. Tom, thanks for waking up this morning, Tom. And getting on the air with us. We'll say hi tonight at Chase Center.
All right. Thank you so much. Have a great day. Appreciate it.
Anytime. Tom McGinnis, the Sixers radio play-by-play voice since 1995. You got to work at the Doc Rivers.
What are you talking about?
I work at the dock, man. Embiid,
I'm
the company coming
to
town.
My hairline.
Honestly, Embiid. Let's. I'm
That's
gonna,
one thing me and Doc have in common.
Yeah, holding on for dear.
High and tight, man.
I'm holding on for dear life as well. A lot of stress.
I say to Cream the Barber every time. Is this my last one?
I don't say that. I'm just, hey, Pat. Avoid the soft spots, homie.
It's like Michael Crabtree in the Super Bowl. It's fading.
Oh, that's not fair. Why you gotta hit me like that?
That's fine.
You seen my family lineage?
Have fun in the play-in tournament, Spadoni. How about that?
Austin Reeves not gonna allow that.
Have fun in the play-in, buddy. Joel Embiid, though.
He's so good.
Joel Embiid. I do want to have a conversation about him because
I find him to be fun.
You know, when the Giannis rumors were happening, I was like, man, I'd much rather have Joel Embiid. Now, look,
this
Warrior team. But Giannis and Joel Embiid, who.
You're picking amongst two great players.
The injury history could have derailed his career.
Yes.
Like Looney, we didn't know anything about Looney other than the hip injuries. And it's like, well, is this guy going to be a pro? How long is he going to be a Warrior? Now you look at him, he's going on 82 straight games or 82 games played in two straight regular seasons. Joel Embiid, after starting his career off so rocky, and then he had the Ben Simmons situation. He just gets better and better and better. I think he's ushered in an era where we thought the bigs were going to die, right? Oh, big man, they can't play in today's game. Well, him and Jokic and Anthony Davis and DeAndre Ayton and guys like that, they've proven that, no, the big man is not dead. And the way Joel Embiid does it, he gets to the free throw line. Mm-hmm. He could back it down. He's powerful. He's strong. And I think the All-Star game, the first time they picked teams, remember they picked teams for the first time, LeBron and everybody? The players tell you who's good. The players on the floor tell you who's good. And, you know, when you look at the box score, you know who's good by the minutes the coach allows a player to play, even though we disagree sometimes with Jonathan Kuminga. But the All-Star game where they were doing the Elam ending for the first time, And they went to Embiid every single possession, saying, Embiid, you take the ball. Stars among stars. Giannis, LeBron, Steph, whoever it was out there, Kyrie, Chris Paul. That told me something that, oh, the players really respect Embiid. And he's a dog. And he's an absolute beast, a three-level scorer. So I hope we get the opportunity to watch him play tonight, because I don't think fans around the league, especially people who don't watch League Pass, realize how good this player is.
His footwork is unbelievable. Like, for a big that size, physically, yeah, that size.
I love him.
Who would you even put in his category? Because I think young Shaq, a lot of people have forgotten how athletic young Shaq was.
Hakeem Olajuwon.
Yeah, well, Hakeem had the soccer background. He was unbelievable.
David Robinson.
David Robinson was another one. It was actually, David Robinson's a great one of my favorite players of all time.
Right.
But like, in terms of the modern, I mean, we're talking guys that all came out in the 90s, mm-hmm, you know what I mean? Be like, primarily, mm-hmm, very few of those guys in recent memory. I love that he embraces being the top dog on one of those teams. And he truly cares about winning and losing. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoy watching him. And I also think that so few athletes get it. You know what I'm talking about? Like, just the big picture of where they fit in the ethos of sports. This is a guy that gets it.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing I appreciate the most about him.
No, he is. So we're going to do King of the Hill at 9 o'clock. King of the Hill, 9 o'clock.
And what I mean by that is, like, he understands how to treat fans.
Yep.
He understands how to utilize social media. I've seen a lot of videos that he did not put out where he goes to the park and plays with kids. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm always a big believer in, like, when the camera's not in your face, how do you treat people?
Right.
Right. And so I always hear good things. I've heard lots of good things from various people around about him being a good dude.
No,
you know what I mean? No. And I just feel like when we look at guys who should be the face of the league and have earned it and then kind of get what it's all about.
He's earned it.
Yeah. And as we're sitting here talking about, you know, Ja Morant and some of these other younger players in various leagues that maybe aren't getting it right now, mm-hmm, and obviously are very, very, very young. I look at Embiid as a great metaphor for those who do get it. Patrick Mahomes gets it. Yep. Wouldn't you agree?
No doubt.
Right?
No doubt.
And like, Steph Curry gets it. Those guys are very, very difficult. So when you do get it, I feel like we should celebrate them more.
Well, he shoots 86% from the free throw line.
Yeah, I mean, the player's outstanding.
I mean, 54.5% from the field. He's 35% from the three-point line. It's big. He's giving you 33 points and 10 rebounds. He's blocking shots. He's altering shots, steals. And when you just see him, like, in person, I remember seeing him in the locker room.
Yeah, he's humongous.
He is huge. I don't think people realize how strong.
So what is
he, 7'2"? They list him at 7 feet, 280.
He looks way bigger.
He looks 7'1", and he's got the mini fro, which makes him look taller. He's got the long arms and a wingspan, and... He's picked all the way back in 2014. He's already 29 years old. He is close, man.
What number draft pick was he?
He was number 3 overall. Wiggins was number 1 in that draft.
Wow.
Andrew Wiggins, number 1 coming out of Kansas.
So,
and Embiid didn't play in the tournament that year. They lost to Stanford in the second round.
I remember when they took Okafor and him. They had all those big Nerlens Noel all in a row, and he's the one that ends up panning out.
Yep. And a lot of picks didn't pan out for him. Remember, trust the process?
The majority of them did. He's the only
one. He's the only one there. Tobias Harris via trade.
Yeah.
Then they gave him the money. James Harden via trade. PJ Tucker free agent.
But
Tyrese Maxey was a solid one right there.
I think
there.
The one separator for me when I look at Embiid versus Jokic, they both bring something a little different to the table. Like, Jokic's talent is unreal. His ability to lean in, teardrop back like he's Dirk at that size, his passing. Embiid's defense to me is where I feel like.
Better two-way player.
Yes. And that's not a knock on Jokic. We're picking amongst two of the greatest players on the planet.
No doubt.
God, I love the way that he is an enforcer. Like, you fear him in that paint.
No doubt. No doubt you do. And he's questionable tonight, and we may not see him. I personally, selfishly, as a fan of the game, I want to see Embiid on the floor.
Well, I love seeing him bring the ball up the floor. It's one of my favorite things.
I miss with, you know, fandom aside. Yeah, Giannis not playing. Oh, everybody catch their breath.
No, but that sucked.
Oof, that did suck.
Did I tell you about that? My buddy Pat Rabbit took his son. It was his birthday. And they were like, his favorite player outside of the Warriors is Giannis. So Giannis isn't playing that night. So we had softball on Wednesday. And I was like, oh, did you have a good time at that game? Because I ran into him at the game. He goes, you know, Giannis didn't play. And that kind of sucked. But we got close enough to see him or whatever. But I got a chance to see Steph Curry have one of those kind of games. And it was like maybe the best game of the year at home. They win in overtime. Yep. Curry goes nuclear. It was great. And I just think that's one thing that the NBA really does provide. And it sucks when guys sit. But, man, there's so many stars that they can kind of overcome. Like tonight, if Embiid doesn't play, you still get James Harden.
No doubt.
Still get Steph Curry and Klay Thompson.
And Tyrese Maxey is a dynamic
player. He's really good.
He is. He is electric. Tyrese Maxey is good. I really like the Sixers team. The Eastern Conference playoffs, It's going to be a lot of fun.
And when it gets to the semifinals. In the East, essentially. If they were in the East right now, they're based off their record, they'd be what, like the 8-9 slot?
They would be in a play-in. Yeah, they'd be 8th right now in the Eastern Conference with their record. I mean, think about Miami's in the 6th spot. They're 40-34.
For so long, it was the West. It's flipped
to the East.
Yeah, it's like 25 years.
But the East has been really good over the last few years. That's why it's a little... It's a shame that Brooklyn broke apart because Kyrie, Kevin Durant could have done some special things in Brooklyn. He's a toenail away from being in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Atlanta Hawks. I mean, that close. And Brooklyn, of course, dissipated, but Cleveland's a fun young team. Donovan Mitchell ducked on somebody the other day in Brooklyn at Barclays Center. It was like, wow. Cleveland's got a nice young roster. The Knicks are playing well.
There was a report out that Donovan Mitchell told the Miami Heat he was interested.
Maybe.
And then didn't want to go there.
He would be a perfect member of the Miami
Wouldn't
Heat.
He?
Oh, my gosh. Let's go to Billy in San Francisco. Billy, what's happening?
You're on the road. South Beach.
Billy, what's happening?
Hey, what's up,
Billy?
Gentlemen? How's it going?
So good.
I took, you guys were talking about, like, what the in-game entertainment and comparing baseball to football and basketball. And I don't think that's an appropriate comparison, but more than that, I think, like, you look around when you're at Giants Park, Oracle. It's the most beautiful view in the bay.
Agreed.
That sunset hits East Bay, or you've got the sailboats, et cetera. Like, you don't need anybody dancing. Just go get a beer and enjoy yourself at the ballpark.
Yeah, but you also have to recognize...
Don't you want to win, though?
No, that, too. But also have to recognize that for the casual fans, all that other stuff is important, right? Like, and having different elements of entertainment is important for the in-game experience. You can't just have the baseball game anymore. Right. That's not like I totally hear him, and trust me, I'm one of those people. I'll sit there. I don't keep score, but like I'm sitting there and I can just enjoy the game. A lot of people can't. You know, they got to do the walk around with their kids, and they got to go to the Coke bottle because their kid's restless, and they got to get a Build-A-Bear or whatever.
Right. I know about all that.
Well,
right,
and even be look, I'm an adult, and I still love to do a lap around the stadium at the beginning of the year. Don't you?
Mm-hmm. I do. I don't do that
in football. I don't do the lap around the stadium.
Well, it's too busy. Yeah, I don't do all that. Yeah, I don't do that.
But in baseball, I do.
It's a nice yard. You want to meet with people. It's a long game, 9 innings. You never know. Now with the kid, baby Chaz loves to run the bases and hit the baseball and stay in the batter's box. I'm like, no, Chaz, you got to run.
No, that's the best part, seeing your daughter run around. No, like, and the other thing I was thinking about was like the Savannah Bananas, and I know some people think it's you know, not comparative to what's going on now. I do think there are some things that they bring to the table that are fun elements that need to be introduced by some of these baseball teams to speeden the game up. You have 4-minute dead blocks in between every single half inning.
Yeah.
Right? And if you're still doing the same thing for 25 years over and over, you got to mix it up a little. When you go to a war game, you know what the number one thing at a Warrior game is, I've noticed, and I know you know this, when they shoot t-shirts up, people go crazy. When they drop them from the rafters, people go nuts. They're ready to fight each other.
Even they have the cheerleader squad, the senior cheerleading squad.
Yes.
And those ladies, and there's some guys too. Yeah. They're jacked up. I see them. They're like, you know, they're 50 plus, 60 plus, and they're going out there and they put on a show.
Yes.
Then you get Franco Finn.
Yes.
You get everything out of Franco Finn.
I love Franco.
Ounce of energy. Shaker I love Franco Hart's too. Hey, dude, you get every ounce of energy out of Franco Finn. They put everything they have into making the game day experience, a lot of fun at Chase Center.
Yes.
Everybody, the ushers, they're dancing. Security guards are dancing. And the in-game entertainment at Oracle Park. You don't even get replays, dude.
No.
Like, the replay system is awful at Oracle Park. We have to fix that.
I agree with that. And then we don't want to upset the umpires. I don't really care. They need to get thicker skin. The game is for the 50,000 that are or 30,000 that are at the game, not for the 4 umpires to feel good about themselves. Like, even at a Niner game right now, in between, for the in-game experience, and I know that this is a small fraction of the people that are actually watching the games, but when you're at the Niner game, I care about who rings the foghorn, don't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It sets the tone.
I do love the trivia that they ask between
certain quarters. It's a lot of fun. Even Emmanuel Mosey was hurt.
That was cool.
In that Cowboys game.
Really cool.
Let's go Niners.
That was
and
really
it was
cool.
Rocking.
Yeah.
Rocking.
When they show old highlights and then you get Raj Mathai up there. Hi, this is NBC's Bay Area.
Raj is
smiling.
I need to go holler at Raj, man. He is the man.
And then they do like the 49er throwback.
No doubt.
They do high school.
Counting down to the second half.
Yeah.
They show like 90 seconds or 99.
It's really cool.
And it's all the players in the jersey.
Yeah, it's really
cool. Worn the numbers and stuff like that. No, it's really
cool. The Niners in-game experience has gotten a lot better since they've moved into
the Well, they
Levi's.
Listen to the
it's
fans.
Incredible.
They know what people want.
Yeah, I
they
agree.
Pay attention to social media.
Yeah.
The Giants social media team, I don't want to rip anybody. They're all working hard. I'm sure they're
they
doing
do
a great
feel a
job.
They behind the times.
They feel behind the times.
And
that's why
that's
Anthony
fair.
Garcia is now doing the in-game entertainment
yeah.
alongside. And I think Anthony Garcia is going to bring that excitement, some of that joy. He understands what the culture needs and what they want. Everybody else in baseball is embracing it.
What's,
why are the Giants behind the times?
So it's interesting. Like, when you go to a Giants game, what do you think is the... In between innings, and obviously the game's the most important, but in between innings, what's the thing that gets everybody the most excited? Is it the kiss cam still?
Kiss cam's dead. Kiss cam's over. Like, we're done with that. Do they even do kiss cam at the Warriors game anymore?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.